and interactive on a one-to-one follow your own rhythm drummer beat medium. What media did that?
It's a computer.
No.
Well, mass media, you mean the telephone or the television?
I would say television, radio, the electric mass media,
mm-hmm.
and the 1560s. We're not subsumed by them anymore.
But direct contact is through the computer.
All right, now you're on the right track. But the computer was a mass environment. The post-mass effect of the computer was brought about with the personal computer,
mm-hmm.
or the microchip.
Yes.
Okay,
right now.
Now all the media have become privatized and interactive. The telephone with the answering machine.
Mm-hmm.
That meant you could have your own private bubble, still interact efficiently with the telephone environment, but not have to respond immediately as if a drum beat was imposed on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
And then after that, you have the VCR. Okay, you can tape shows and watch them at your own beat,
mm-hmm.
at your own pace. And then you have the remote zapper, move from station to station, therefore bypassing advertising.
Mm-hmm. The tape deck,
and the satellite dish, and the private computer. All of these have brought back the sensation of interactive media and demand media, cable TV. All these things came in from the middle 70s, and that's when the me decade and then the neoconservative retrieval of the 18th century, you know, chafing at the bit to get back to the original autonomy of the individual ideals in the American Constitution, whether liberal or conservative. The 18th century concepts have been retrieved as an icon, as an effect of the retrieval of the human scale. The human scale meaning that these monster media don't impose their drumbeat on you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I didn't explain that the technical hidden ground, the technical instruments of the retrieval of human scale were these technologies brought in, and of course the one that Soderbergh, the director of Sex, Lies, and Videotape, I think I got his name right, Soderbergh, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, that's where everybody becomes their own broadcasting station with the video camera, right? That's the video experience privatized. So with this incredible enhancement of electric autonomies and the illusion of human scale, we now are beyond the bureaucratic structures of solutions.
We're free.
That's right. We're free to suffer on our own rate. And, of course, suffering always flips into ecstasy, right? So I'm not being negative.
No, nothing's negative.
Okay, we have to move on.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrew. We do have another caller. Tonight's theme, just to remind, is Who Are the Thought Police? Is that it? Do you know what the number one show on Sunday nights is now?
Home Videos.
Yes, America's Home Videos.
With Simpsons racing up behind, right?
Yeah.
The Simpsons. So what's that? The Home Videos tells you something there, right? That's human scale, kind of, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good, Mike.
Okay, we have another caller. Hello.
So is this an example of taking the Bob show to human scale? I mean, is there a hijacking going on here with people using their own private cassette operations, mixing with telephone and radio, therefore becoming private broadcasters and generators of their own church syndrome? Is that the meaning here? Is that Bob's being echoed and mirrored with the human scale effect?
I think it's just,
because everybody's becoming their own radio station now, right?
I think it's just people wanking off.
That's very important. No. They say that masturbation is the thinking man's television. Now think of that. The thinking man's television is masturbation. Now that, well, Michael Corrin said it on TVO Imprint last week, not today here, but last week. He was talking about it in reference to Philip Roth's book about masturbating.
Hello.
No,
Michael
Corrin?
Hi.
Yeah.
You on the air? Hello.
Breath.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
You're on.
Hi. Turn up your radio.
Did you switch over, Mike, to the other way?
Yeah.
We're not on Mike Hansen's technique.
We could try it. Do you want to try it?
Yeah, so you can switch over now.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, it works.
Thanks, Mike Hansen.
Is this Mike?
Hi, speaking.
Yes. Am I on the air right now?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you both a question.
We took your name and address. You're covered.
I'm sorry. I just can't hear you very well. There's a lot of noise in this place at this moment.
Well, turn it down.
I wish I could. It's a factory.
This is a Racerhead, the original Racerhead calling in.
You got it. Listen, I really enjoy your show, but I've got one question.
What's the but for? If you enjoy it, why say but? You imply that having a question takes away your enjoyment?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, good. Yeah, it takes away your slack.
Okay. I got something through an organization in New York. It's called Fact Sheet 5.
Oh, yeah.
And the name of the...
they've all seen that here.
Mike Underloy.
Right.
Yeah.
And the name of the document is called the Gemstone File.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wrote that.
Are you familiar with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I wrote that. That came out in
1977.
Yeah, middle 70s, 76, 77. You're right.
So you're very well versed in the background of this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is his name? Aristotle Onassis, the Howard Hughes Group? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
It's very accurate.
Is it on the level?
It's almost on the level. It's not up to the level of Dr. Beter, but it's a supporting of Mae Brussels' documentation. Matter of fact, do you know that the Gemstone File originally, the person who did it was a spy in San Francisco who hung out with other spies?
And he overheard, Bruce Roberts?
Yeah, and he overheard all this stuff and wrote it down. The person he gave it to in the late 70s was Mae Brussels. That was the only person, one of our holy offices, the only person he entrusted it with. And then she had it videotaped at the Santa Cruz video library.
Right.
Yeah, so then it became quite available when Hustler published it in 1979. But it's accurate up to about 1973, around Watergate times.
Well, I read a lot of things actually to corroborate some of the things. There's a book that came out called The Great Heroin Coup.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
that seems to go with a lot of the things it says. Plus,
yeah, but The Great Heroin Coup is mainly about the 60s. Leading
yeah.
up into the early 70s. Okay, put it this way. The Gemstone File is not relevant after 1979. The only source of information relevant for the post-79 period is Dr. Beter. And
right.
he was part of the hidden government, and therefore he was the only kind of person who could know it. Mae Brussels was a housewife working through the major pink press. It was an excellent job what she did, but she didn't have access to the vast changes that happened as we got into the final turn, which happened from 79 to 82. The speed up of things are unbelievable to most pinks and even subgeniuses. Like we heard earlier, can you believe that Carter is a robotoid? Can you believe that?
I heard that. I remember hearing that. Back in November, and it stunned me.
Yeah, it's a stunner, and that's why. First of all, you get for basic education, you study the Holy Office of Mae Brussels, and then you escalate from that to Lyndon LaRouche, and then you move into a little Sherman Skolnick, and then you move up to Dr. Beter. Always, as you're doing that, studying Marshall McLuhan because he knew that, but figured out being a member of the establishment how to talk about it. For example, how to talk about it without getting caught naming names. For example, he wrote in his book, Take Today, The Executive's Dropout, in 1972 it came out, at the beginning of Watergate, he said the presidential surrogate, the automated presidential surrogate, is a superlative nobody. The automated presidential surrogate, is a superlative nobody. That implies robotoids. In other words, you know, George Bush, Reagan, they are superlative nobodies, but they come out of the intelligence network, and they are the automated surrogate, meaning that the real power that the White House represents is not there anymore. That power that was represented by the White House is not there. It's just a surrogate of that power, and it's automated. It's computer-driven. And if you look at my perfect pitch chart, you see the computer was a hidden ground of the 60s. That's where Thomas Pynchon is still trapped. He's still describing the effects of the computer on Americans. He then threw in a little TV in his new book, Vineland. But he's still dealing with a 60s sensibility. He's nowhere near the mythos of Bob and my acumen in describing the hidden agenda of what's happening now.
But isn't the whole Iran-Contra thing, isn't that following that same pattern of drugs and guns that was going on in the Golden Triangle and is probably still going on?
Well, that all happened during Watergate and it goes back to the JFK assassination. But Iran-Contragate had no effect. It was entertainment. It was nostalgia for the feeling that Big Brother still was doing some dirty work behind the scenes. All right? We've gone well beyond the control by Big Brother. It's now a solar government level. The guys, they don't need a deal in dope. That's left for spin-offs from unemployed intelligence agents. Because intelligence is obsolete, too. Information is obsolete. You got to start looking on the solar government level, and that's Dr. Beter's stuff. So that's why Iran-Contra had no effect in the way the regular researchers thought that it would upset the Reagan presidency. For example, they've got bigger stuff. You know that George Bush's gang was involved in blowing up Pan Am 103. They killed their own CIA agents, all right, over Lockerbie a year ago. That is going to come out this year, more of that stuff. Yet Bush will be reelected. This is stuff that's irrelevant from this point on. But it's necessary for young people or old people or slow people to study this stuff just to get their basic mathematics. That's why I made Brussels the Holy Office of Mathematics. You're counting, you're numbering figures, but you have to study McLuhan to understand the ground, the macro myths, all right?
All right.
So that's a mouthful. I expect you to understand that.
Yeah, I'm with you on most of it, I think.
Yeah, you should be.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Spread the gemstone around.
I have been, actually.
Are you a high school teacher?
Well, I'm close. I'm going to teacher's college pretty soon.
Okay, well, put that on your course when you get a job, all right?
Okay.
Give those kids in grade six a little taste of the past.
It's romanticism.
That's right. They'll love it. They'll want to read again.
Well, it can lead you in so many directions, and unfortunately, it cuts right off at 1975, and I would like to connect that more with the present.
Well, that's what I talk. We feature Dr. Beter here, but if you can...
I've heard him a few times, yes.
Yeah, we feature him at 2 o'clock, 2:30 on Kent's show, but Kent's not here tonight, so it won't be on, but the little bit of Dr. Beter that we feature is you're only going to get it here in the whole world. So
well,
just keep listening.
What about, you must have pamphlets, magazines, tapes.
Well, I have a place where you can buy them.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy his tapes. You'd have to phone after. But
okay.
We got to wrap it up. So phone after the show, and I'll give you the address where you can get the tapes.
Will that be, what, about 1 o'clock?
About 3 or 4. Or it's such a good show tonight. We've got Brain Police coverage. We're going all night, I think.
Okay,
Mike
well,
just loves
I'll
this
try
attention.
After 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
You're welcome. Night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, this is quite productive. Good
okay.
questions.
Yeah, it's going well tonight.
Looks like we got another call.
Yeah, we do. I don't know if it's another crank call, but we can try. Hello.
Hello.
Yo, oh.
Oh, Bob.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm not here. I can't hear it.
Okay, you got to switch him over.
How's that?
Am I here? Still
hear?
Not here.
You got the radio on?
Yeah.
Well, then you heard me.
I know, but I'm still not here. Oh,
you're not here.
That's right. I'll do my best.
You're right. You're not here. That's true.
No kidding.
You're everywhere.
Listen, you know that child? That's lovely. Yeah, I was just thinking, you said acquiring language is the most creative act that a human being ever does, right?
That's a valid concept, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty good.
Not good enough for you, right, Dublin? You always push it further.
I like that. But that child that was on, the little baby, the... Burbling.
Hey, by the way, people, this is the guy who predicted use our phone number for the Sunday Star, whatever you call it.
Oh, I just woke up.
Oh, we played your tape. We played your message. You get the credit for using our phone number to pick those numbers.
Yeah, but it's the only one I got right all week, and I didn't bet it.
Well, it comes around in cycles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, our number will come around again. So, yeah, you obviously have something to tell us.
Yeah, I figure that child was acquiring you. That was a child acquiring language that you had on the phone there about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, acquiring me.
Acquiring Bob. So the child's dream now becomes the ground, and you become
a
plastic figure on that ground in the process of being formulated. You've been overpowered here, Bob.
That's the new.
Didn't you hear the
Yeah.
I was struck by the
growl of authority.
Well, it's beautiful listening to a child, what's the word, babbling. That's not a good word. That's true, though.
Yeah, it's miming, dreaming awake. It's trying to use language to see.
Well, they're singing, right?
Yeah.
If a little child is going through the pre-language stage, what they're really doing is singing. And so that's a kind of a plastic beauty that hasn't become formulated or become coherent yet.
When you say plastic, is that derogatory?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No, but you're right. Plastic is sculptural and you're making. So you're still engaged
exactly.
in making their sensory life, making sense. You're right. Very good use of plastic there.
Plastic in the sense of proto, like protoplasm. So that,
yeah.
Like
you.
Like
in that sense,
like you become Bob becomes protoplasm in the formulating environment of
professional professional
childish dreaming.
A professional TO plasm. That's Bob. Protoplasm.
professional
TO, right? Well beyond any sports activity offered, right?
Yeah. So
that's plastic.
So Bob's becoming subsumed now, you see?
And I think when you say that I'm being subsumed, of course a child will do that because, as I said earlier, elders are flexible in a tribal society, and the youth are rigid. So you see the rigidity, the plasticity, the enormous sculptural authority that the child is attempting with the language to assume the experience she gets from me. Yeah, that's what's happening.
Child has it effortlessly.
Yeah. In other words, every art form, you take the phrase, what's a metaphor? Okay, what is a metaphor? Well, when man's reach exceeds its grasp, or what's a metaphor? So that the child has to subsume all that's gone before and has to create its own identity, go past it. And in the course of going past it, it will create something new. And that new product that it will create, in any art form, if you think of the artist, the new product they create was a byproduct of their effort to understand the greats before the artist. You know what I mean? The past.
Yeah.
That's how the new is created.
Well, a metaphor is when you take something and you express it in terms of something else.
Yeah,
that's
looking
exactly
at one thing through the other. Yeah.
So that if I say that that my kitchen is an abstract space hovering just beyond something. This is pretty damn abstract.
Yeah. When you say we're looking through the situation through another situation, every new child, every new being, every new pink, every new subgenius has to look at the world through the other, and in that way forms their own identity. So they have to absorb the other, and that's the macromyth. That's the historical heritage.
Well, a metaphor is a mental act, right? It's expressed in language, but it's a mental act in which the human power is demonstrated.
Yeah, but you're not excluding the senses from the act of mind. Mind and body are integrated here?
No, I'm not excluding the senses from anything, but a metaphor is a mental act first.
That's the it must be.
It's a communicative act.
Yeah, it comes out of the private citadel of consciousness.
Without language, metaphor doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
The word metaphor only means something in the context of
Well, that's where language is metaphor. See, that's where it gets difficult, right?
But reality becomes mere possibility and completely subservient to a mental act. That's a metaphor. You can take a reality, which is arguably the most profound thing there is, because it's concrete. After all, the reality is there. It's the universe. You can die. It's still going to be there.
Well, you're talking about making something out of nothing. If you're separating the mind from the physical concrete metaphor, the mind is nothing. Metaphor is something.
No, the mind takes the actuality, which is something.
Sculpts it.
And makes it into a mere possibility in the act of metaphor. A genuine something becomes a mere possibility in a metaphor.
You mean the mind is something?
The mind has that power. The mind is more powerful than reality.
Well, do you know that when we die, that our body weight does not change? And yet, 20 years ago, people thought it did change? They measured it and they saw a change in weight, but then they found out it was some chemical of the body. So therefore, if the mind is weightless, if our soul or whatever it is that goes on, and I assure you it goes on, then there's no change in body weight, then the soul is weightless. So it doesn't exist in physical terms. But it is not outside the physical. It is in between, like an X-ray. It's in between. It interpenetrates metaphor and the brain. Right? You really can't locate it. And that thing you can't locate is carving out the metaphor.
Well, it's interesting because...
It's not interesting.
It's not interesting, right?
It's not interesting.
Okay. I was reading that a piece of computer software doesn't have any implementive capacity. If you don't put it into the right hardware situation, it can't do anything. See what I mean? Now, that's supposed to be a profound...
Yeah, that is
a philosophical fact. I think it's true too.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
No, but see, it's the argument was concerning artificial intelligence, whether it's possible, whether you can get genuine intelligence in a computer.
Well, look at the phrase artificial intelligence. That's what metaphors are. Artificial intelligence. Language is an artificial intelligence. It gives us a grasp of the world. It gives us a way of looking at the world, but is not the whole of intelligence. It's artificial in the sense it's artifice. You know, Daedalus, the original artificer, who turned the ritual of tribal creation myths into the art form.
Mm.
All right, the Daedalus, the Daedalic effort.
Yeah, by flying, you mean, you're saying that the effort to put wings on and fly was the effort to
He tried
to go beyond physical limits.
Yeah, exceed his grasp.
And I wonder...
See, that's the point. If you understand to exceed your grasp is what we do when we speak, because you can't pin it down what you're talking about in the essential bit. Yet you're talking and using it.
Mm.
So we are making something out of nothing, and so that makes Jesus possible. There was the possibility of a virgin birth. That would be within the laws of the universe. That something could come out of nothing. So I think it converted 100 people tonight with that thought. They never knew that the virgin birth could happen. And it did happen, and the metaphor was Christ.
Well, there's a word for that, non-sexual reproduction. What is that word?
Immaculate
parthenogenesis. Parthenogenesis.
That's cancer.
No, it's not. Parthenogenesis is where you've got only females of a species, like... strictly speaking...
carcinogenesis?
No, parthenogenesis.
Oh, parthenogenesis, okay.
As in P as in Peter, A-R-T-H.
Yeah, that's with only women.
That's right. You don't need a male seed. Some plants do that, and I think maybe some insects and slime molds. But it's theoretically possible, because if you're born, the human half of the genotype cannot make... I mean, the male half of... that's good. The human half.
Your bias is leaking out there.
The male half of the human genotype cannot support the construction in the womb or anywhere else of a complete human body. This is a biological fact. But, oh, it is. Because a woman's got two...
Laughter means I'm learning, Dublin. Don't take it personally.
Well, a woman's got two X chromosomes, isn't it? And a man's got an X and a Y.
Hey, man, you're going way off. Remember, you got to be fast at the electric speed. Don't go too far. There have been complaints about you, Dublin, that you go on too long. I mean, you're a great caller, but don't get too bogged down with the particulars. Make it up and do it fast.
Oh, just that men are a selective variation on women.
Yeah.
And
women are the last to be civilized. Did you know that? Women are going to be the last to be civilized.
I don't think they're ever going to be civilized.
Yeah, that's why they'll be last.
No, they're not pre-literate.
They're pre-nuptial.
They're pre-civilate. They're pre-civilate.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, that means that they exist in a state prior to the state of civilization. And this is sufficient for them. And that is good, actually, because, when I was younger, that's what I always admired about them.
Yeah, so if women are the last to be civilized, then they will take over the effort to civilize.
No, they won't take over anything, Bob. I hate to tell you that.
Oh, they won't?
No, that doesn't work that way.
You're not into the... Oh, you missed our whole thing at the beginning of the show on Ma. You know, mafia means Ma. Mom.
No, that may well be true, but what we're talking about, you see... Women...
Yeah, we're giving you airtime. You know, you got to donate every October to this station, man.
Every October.
Progress.
No, women are pre whatever we're doing. The idea of them taking over it...
They've always been the hidden ground. That's right. That's why Eve found the apple. Apple's the technology, right? Apple was the metaphor. So they've always been the hidden ground. They were the medium for it.
They have to be in it to take over it.
That's right.
And they're not in it. They're pre it.
Yeah.
See, they're a genuine alternative to man. So,
they show up, the women's lib shows up in the electric age when the electric environment can't be bought, sold, or stolen, or controlled. So they will take over as a false myth, but they won't have any control because you can't at this time, and that's perfect for them because they don't want to control it.
Yeah, but women's lib doesn't have anything to do with women. We're an alternative to women. They're not an alternative to us.
What are they then?
Well, they're pre-us.
Well, that's me. I'm a woman. Remember that. You're talking to a woman here, right?
The great andromorph.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, go on. You were saying they're pre-whatever, pre-nuptial, pre-everything, right?
Pre-civilate. So, see.
Pre-civilate.
Yeah. So we're that's a neologism there. Got it. I've never used it before.
You just did. You're in trance. It came out of you.
No, it's good, though. It's just a pre-civilate. I mean, pre-literate. But, yeah, they're pre-us. That's all there is to it. So, see, whatever we're doing is post them, and they don't need it.
And that's why you'd have the virgin birth come out of a woman.
That's going to run back to my point. Precisely so.
Yeah.
If a man...
Didn't come out of a man.
Man came out of a woman.
Yeah.
As a viable alternative. Well, that's a
viable alternative.
So we're not viable. No, I don't think we're viable, Bob. I think we're more abstract than that.
but we're potent, though, but not necessarily viable.
Yeah.
So, anyway, man come out of woman, and what we do is post-women. Let's see here now.
Where's this going, right? Where's this going?
Can well, with all proper respect, I mean, I don't mean it to... This is not a trivialization.
No.
But Jesus Christ... the idea of the virgin birth, the idea that any kind of a man or any kind of a creature could come out of a woman is a good idea. It's a viable idea.
It's a viable idea, yeah.
And so the virgin birth, you said it fits in the scheme of the whole universe. Remember, that's what you said. It's,
yes.
In the whole universe, the possibilities there. So it is quite possible, the virgin birth, the production of... of at least another man, because Christ was man and God, is the Son of God. There's nothing blasphemous in that. Yeah, that's right. So that's it.
You did it. You said it. You've said something you've never said before. And you'll reflect on what you said tonight, and you won't be too sure what you said, what you meant, because your grasp...
I just woke up.
Yeah, your reach exceeded your grasp.
My reach exceeded my grasp.
And that's what we do here. We make sense. We make sense. You know, we don't match with some standard. We make sense. We make it up. But it's important. It's momming what goes on in the world. We're basing the world on illusion right now.
Better be careful, because if you're being formulated as a new figure on the ground of that child's dream, Bob, in the process of language acquisition,
yeah,
you might be a Daedalus in spite of yourself.
That's right.
And
that's what I have to anticipate.
I wouldn't be scared of that.
No, I can handle it. Anyways, thanks, Dub.
Okay, man.
That Irish is always there. It's always coming out of you.
I was trying to remember something else, but I think I forgot.
Okay, if you forget, call back.
We'll do. Okay.
Thanks. The journalist says thank you to you. He liked you. Dublin. You still there?
He's gone. Okay.
Yeah, say the question. Oh, okay.
Just one thing I've noticed listening to the Church of Genius is that you have very few female callers.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what your explanation for that is.
Because I'm a woman, and they like to see me take on the male energy. In other words, they're watching and rooting for me in relation to all the men that come on. I mean, most of these people are attacking me, not negatively, but they are trying to grasp me and reach beyond me. So since I'm a woman, then women feel represented. Right? They feel represented on this show. It's only, I don't know, the women who do call, who they are or why they do call, you know. They just don't maybe feel I'm a woman. Usually they do argue with the fact I'm a woman. They don't feel that I am a woman. I'm not representing them.
You do get the odd female phone.
Yeah, who doesn't feel, some of them support me, like we had earlier tonight, the opening message. Someone liked the tapes that that someone sent them. But we do get the odd so-called woman caller who argues with me or feels I'm not womanly. You know, or angry that I'm being a cliche woman. You know, they have all kinds of different objections. But that's not the majority. The majority support this show. As a matter of fact, I think the larger, and Barbara could qualify this and support it, that the majority of my listeners are women. I mean, I get notes from women all the time. You know, not proposals, but just supportive comments on the male energy that surfaces in the show. But it's a post-male energy. It's a discarnate male energy.
I guess that explains why very few dogs phone up, because you are a dog as well.
Yeah, that's right. The dog comes from the Cynic tradition. How do you know that, Mike?
About the dogs?
Yeah.
You're not against that's a good point. We don't get many dogs or animals of any sort calling.
Well, maybe that...
Oddly enough.
No, yeah. We may now that I've announced the post-anthropomorphic theme, and I think that child was trying to be a dog in their sounds. Do you know what I mean? That child voice.
I don't have the slightest idea.
Yeah.
Either, but
we
that's a good one to call him. Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, Sean's back.
Yeah,
we're making big progress tonight, aren't we?
Oh, this is a great show.
Yeah, are you taping it?
Yeah, I'm taping it.
It's going to take weeks to digest what we're grasping, right?
Oh, definitely. but I thought I could maybe answer the question why the Church of the Subgenius seems to be
a boys' club.
Yeah, that comes up all the time.
You're going to make a grasp here.
Yeah, I'm going to try and make a grasp.
Yeah.
It almost goes into a Dublin sensibility.
It's what?
It almost goes into a Dublin sensibility. It's kind of specific. And
you mean Dublin, the guy who just called?
Yeah, the guy who just called.
You mean your answer is going to sound like him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully not. But anyways, I was thinking that because man cannot give birth, he becomes sort of a surrogate mother through ideas.
Yeah.
And philosophies and stuff, politics, that's why there's so many males in politics.
Yeah, concept, which is not percept.
Yeah.
That's what you mean, yeah.
That we get into concepts. And so, like that happens a lot with males because they can't give birth directly, like they can't give intuitively.
Okay, but there's a bias here. You're saying that women are not intellectual?
Women are intuitive, right side.
Like that's the traditional archetype.
Okay, like gesture is
see, I'm defending women here. I'm not supporting him here. The cliche is that women are intuitive and male are intellectual, but that's not the case anymore under discarnate conditions because our bodies are going to mix.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, if no one knows that.
Well, they feel it and they act it out.
On a content level.
They don't know the causes. They know it in the sense they act it out.
Mm-hmm.
Women want role mobility. Men want role mobility. Everybody wants to be everybody. Everybody wants to wear everybody else. It's like what you said 2 weeks ago. All cultures are trying to get under each other's skin. All media are trying to get under each other's skin. All human beings are trying to get under each other's typology of skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the cause of that? That's the need. Mm-hmm. The need comes from the hidden ground. It's the electric discarnate state. That's the cause of... So
well,
to go back to the old categories...
We don't have bodies anymore.
Right.
Like, we no longer have bodies, and that means that the womb has become discarnate as well.
So that would mean that the Pope will come... The Pope could be the Antichrist because the Catholic Church is based on the virgin birth. That is a real electric percept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because the womb is now in the discarnate state. So, and that's where all your... You're going to have ideas flying all over the place in the discarnate womb.
Yeah, and ideas as percepts.
Mm-hmm.
As images.
As images, yeah.
Stuff that businessmen can work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the age of information, the post-industrial society.
Actually, I was thinking that a discarnate, like right now, the image of the Big Brother image, that you can get the worst sort of fascism through the discarnate, almost anarchy state.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people think it's going to be the end of fascism, but you can end up with the worst sort of fascism, like it would be.
Wait a minute, I can clarify this for you. Fascism was the kinetic phase in the early 20th century. That was movie, car, radio. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That was kinetic space. The global theater is a kinetic ground, with a kinetic technological ground. Now, we're now telekinetic. So the pre-World War II fascism archetypes or icons become normal behavior of every individual. They absorb the Nazi-like behavior.
We're all Nazis.
Yeah,
we're all Nazis.
I mean, Marshall said that in the 60s. He said the young people were Nazis.
And this is
But that was not bad, because the electric environment murders us. It wipes out humanity. In other words, it's apocalyptic. The Nazis didn't blow us up, right? They didn't destroy the world. They may, some of them now in South America, swamping the world in the 70s and 80s with AIDS viruses and dope and all that stuff, right? They might have tried that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already been subsumed and disappeared, collectively disappeared, like they say in Argentina, with the electric environment. So we put on the kinetic as a costume, as a ghost-like costume, while we deal with the telekinetic effects, which is total obliteration.
So the Nazis were sort of acting out that awareness, like they couldn't put it into words, but they acted it out because they realized that
the concentration
bodyless
camps.
So
yeah.
Then they sort of
they didn't care about human beings.
Yeah, bodies became art, so death was an art form for
they
them.
Consumed bodies in the concentration camps. Now they were somnambulists of the electric effect of that radio movie car kinetic effect, right?
And that's why there's so much war going on now, that they're running like down in South America and so much.
Yeah, wherever they go.
Still, a lot of them are somnambulists, and they're still, like, for them, death is an art form.
They're addicted to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, William Burroughs probably is not a great novelist, but he's a rearview mirror novelist discussing the effects of pre-World War II. I have here Burroughs perceptually visualizes kinetic and acoustic spaces. Kinetic and acoustic and tactile space effects. He visualizes them into the novel form. That's nowhere near what McLuhan does. He sculptured kinetic, acoustic, and visual effects via tactile space bias. But Burroughs just visualizes kinetic, acoustic, and old tactile or kinetic space effects. He just visualizes them. He doesn't sculpture them. So Burroughs is hypnotized by the Big Brother phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that's nostalgia. That's entertainment for us now, right?
Yeah.
That's popular.
Yeah, that's why, you know, even in school, like in the pink institutions there, they can actually teach 1984 in the schools now.
And teach Burroughs, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen Burroughs in, like, the pink, like, the high school pink area. But I did see, like, George Orwell in 1984.
Right.
That was offered on your reading list, right? And that means, obviously, it's art form because obviously it has no effect.
Well, 1984 was all about 1934.
Yeah, that's why they can teach it in the school. Like, they could even teach it in 1984, our time, right?
Yeah.
They could teach that in your school.
Yeah, it's misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Not disinformation, it's mistaken information.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Nazis as art form. Most people today, if our grandparents saw them, would say they're worse than Hitler's. They would have thought, they would have thought Hitler won the war the way people act today. They don't operate on the human scale. But now we're in a situation right now where human scales come back. So you're seeing the Nazis starting to get gentler and kindler.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
they're going to do it too.
Yeah,
we're going to have a utopia here that's going to drive us crazy.
And in the solar theater, that gets acted out with the war crimes trials. Like, they're still hunting down Nazis. Right, like
that's anthropomorphic. They're still looking for human agents of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the funny thing is that on the solar theater stage, everyone's chasing around after someone else, right? And they're not finding anybody, right?
There's nobody there.
There's manhunts going on everywhere because they forgot that we lost our body a long time ago, right?
There's no man, no woman, nothing left.
Yeah, so they're hunting after these bodies. They're not finding them.
That's why espionage and living like Nazis is our daily art form, our daily anesthetic.
Yeah.
So how do we express what's really going on? I mean, we're talking about it in linguistic terms right now, and we're grasping at trying to express the devastating level we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we got to say things like that, like they're manhunting for nobody and can't find anybody, can't solve any problems. Everybody forgets. I mean, Reagan forgot his Joint Chief of Staff chairman, right? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, when he had to testify last week, he couldn't remember John Vesey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then they flashed a photo of him talking to him on the dais, you know, in some ritual. And Reagan could not remember who he was. I mean, Reagan is really expressing, the robotoid Reagan, expresses our environment. He's like the perfect artist for the 80s.
Yeah,
you think of an artist as a mirror.
He's the artist
of our time.
That's his leading role. If you look at what was his role on the solar theater, was to forget, right?
Yeah, and his leading role was to be the artist with perfect pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't even need an artist with perfect pitch. We don't need Michael Snow. We don't need Margaret Atwood. We don't need any of these pen conference. We don't need Havlak Vavil. What's his name? Vaclak Glavel. You know, these guys are ridiculous.
Yeah.
We don't even need Frank Zappa. You do need me, but I'm not available, right? I'm just here. I'm not even here, you know. Jesus, what am I?
Yeah,
well, you need it.
Was in perfect pitch because the big joke about
who was
Reagan? Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
The big joke about him in the White House was that he's always asleep, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if that's not perfect pitch, I mean.
Listen, you're hitting. I was going to say that earlier when I was talking about how are we going to wake up the fact that Finnegan's awake, that our mixed corporate media are dreaming awake. How are we going to wake them up? Well, we can imitate them by falling asleep. That's why Reagan falling asleep at the wheel was the perfect expression of this of media ecology. He was the image of media ecology. This is profound stuff. You're not going to. This goes way beyond Heidegger and any U of T professor who's still trying to fool around with your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody. I mean, you're talking is like Mike says. He said to me, I mean, that's why they rejected Derek de Kerckhoff. That's why this magazine rejected it. Mike had said to me just the day before we found out about this article, that why do these guys, Oswald and these guys, go to York University when they get Bob for free every second Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll give you the most profound stuff that is so superficial but dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virus, you know?
Yeah.
And you're only 18 or 19, and, man, you can't even talk to your peer group anymore. You've learned so much.
I can't talk to anybody. No one wants to listen to me now. And that's good. I don't want them to listen
to
me.
That's right.
They can just watch me dance or, you know, dance with
me. Or sleep.
Or sleep, yeah. Go to sleep, and I'll dance on them.
Yeah, and see, how do you dream awake? You go around walking like a somnambulist. Like Hitler said, I walk through history like a somnambulist. In other words, if anybody asks you, you're right there, and they ask you if you're there, you'll say, no, I'm not. I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And every activity you do will be an expression of sleepiness.
Yeah. I sleep, 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
22
that's right.
hours a day, at least.
Yeah, wasn't it the Zen guy who said that he would never fall asleep again once he got enlightened? Once he got Satori, he would never fall asleep again. Well, that's an obsolete strategy for our time.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. In other words, I'll never fall asleep again. We'll never wake up again.
Actually,
wait just a minute. We got an interruption here from the brain police. Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant by "I'll never fall asleep again." He doesn't have to fall asleep because he's asleep 24 hours.
He did mean that. It's like McLuhan used to say when he said something and someone says, "I don't agree with that." He says, "Yeah, I meant that. I just couldn't say it at the same time I was saying the other thing." Right. So he always implied the opposite. In other words, he didn't believe the meeting was the message.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, everybody goes down in history as the guy who said the meeting was a message. And we've got tapes of him with the exes, you know, screaming and yelling. He didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Isn't that so, you know, we could say anything. Dogma changes every 15 seconds here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap things up.
Well, thanks. What time is it, Mike?
It's 1:30.
Is it all over, or we'll see you? Mike, it's not really over, Sean, but he's trying to get you off the line.
Yeah.
Good contribution.
No problem. Yeah.
Useful. I don't want to say good. Useful contribution there, Sean.
Okay, then.
Excellent work.
I'll call you back later on, though.
Okay.
The show's over. Okay.
If you can wake up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry, I just wanted to wrap it up.
Yeah, you do want... Is it all over, Mike?
It is, yep.
Okay, well, thanks for letting us go for an hour and a half.
It's okay.
You know, do you want to have any... tell us what you're going to write about.
I'm not sure yet.
We just may have killed that article, Mike. That's our goal, is to have not this article published, right? I mean, this guy, you know, you should be gone. Our goal is to drive you to sleep, right? So if we find your funeral listed in the paper in a couple of days, we'll know why. You know, you got the message, right?
What did you told me my life was endangered the other day on the phone, and I can't remember why.
Neither can I, but I'm sure it was true.
It had something to do with the issuing of this article.
Oh yeah, you'll be in trouble. Yeah, you know that. You know, to talk about me in the Global Esperanto,
it's
temporary as it is.
The messenger always gets the arrow through the head.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're bringing both good and bad news. So in other words, the messenger brings bad news, gets off, right?
Yeah.
But no matter what, and Bob is good news, you will be interpreted as bad news. So you're gone. You know, you're finished. So I don't. If you don't publish the article, more power to you, you know. That means you want to stay alive and listen to the show, right? So if you publish the article, we know you left the church. You defected. So, Mike.
You'll be back in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I've got a high summit. When does the CKLN go to have their CRTC hearings? You know,
I don't know. I heard today that the tower move has been approved, so...
And that was necessary before the CRTC?
I'm not sure. I think the two were...
Anyways, I'm sure my absence in 2 weeks will have something to do with the scrutiny of the CRTC, you know, and
okay.
What CKLN has to go through. And so we'll support that. And I got to do incredible stuff because I think it was Elizabeth Clare Prophet predicted the world will blow up on April 23rd. So nuclear war. So Bob won't be here on April 11th. He'll be here on the 18th,
mm-hmm.
just in time to usher us out on
the
April 22nd.
Excellent. So we'll have a going away party.
Yeah, and but I got to do some important stuff, Mike.
Okay.
April is, you know, the beginning.
So
April's
we'll
an important month.
Be back together in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Church of the Subgenius Show. My name is Michael Dyer. I'm going to sign off now too because I'm had a long day. I'm just really tired. I'm going to go home soon. So
okay. Well, you put the tape. You got the tape on.
I got the tape in.
Inside one.
Yeah.
And Robert, if you do get this, you make the fool move of submitting this article to Lorraine, and it does get published. When are we talking about? In the fall. Filler. We're talking in the fall. That's
okay.
When our energy really goes up as we go around the final turn of the year, Mike. Eh? So we'll be selling that magazine.
Could be later. Six or seven times a year.
Okay. So it couldn't, who knows? It'll be when it happens, it'll be the appropriate time. Mike, why don't you take the call?
No.
So here we go. This is the Tai Chi Church Yoga Hymn for tonight. Let's hope Mike got it right. It was supposed to be played 2 weeks ago. Or was it 3 weeks ago we were here?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And this is a wonderful theme that our brain police are going to feel. So this is for the brain police.
Okay.
This is how they're going to feel.
See you in 3 weeks.
Thanks, Mike.
Praise God.
Creation myths into the earth. All right, the Daedalus, the Daedalic pepper.
Yeah, by flying, you mean by the
I'm
Scott Payne. Yeah. Just before midnight hour.
And others are listening to the sound of an untrained voice on your radio.